Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 71st Venice Film Festival, and I'm joined by filmmakers Veronica Franz and Severin Fiala. Thanks very much for being with us. And you guys are presenting your film, Goodnight Mommy. So I think the best way to start this is to tell our viewers exactly what they're in for when they go watch the film. Tell them a little bit about the story.
It's about twins living in an isolated country house, and the mom comes back from plastic surgery, and she's all bandaged and wrapped up and behaves strangely, and children get the idea maybe that's not our mom, maybe somebody else came back and is trying to hurt us.
Yes, and I found that it wasn't just the horror side of things, but there's also a lot of drama in it. So can you tell me a little bit about mixing the two things and not necessarily going for a genre approach?
We were trying to make a film we would like to watch. I mean, we love horror films because they like overpower you physically. It's kind of you're shaking, and we love that. But after the film's finished, I think there should be the possibility to think about topics that were in the film. So first comes the feeling, I think, and afterwards maybe the thoughts. So that combines drama and horror for us.
All right, so you guys are fans of horror films. Because I wanted to mention that you got in this film, we see a lot of elements that are familiar. So I was wondering whether you were directly referencing them and trying to create your own unique intensity to it.
We love to watch horror films since, I don't know, since I can remember. And so I think, I mean, they are not direct references, but of course it plays with a lot of, with a lot of known situations from horror films. And yeah, twins, for example, or an isolated house, a mother in bandages. So yeah, it starts by Georges Franju, and it ends with David Cronenberg, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, but yeah, it's just
the body snatchers.
Yes,
I love the body snatchers.
I guess Spirits of the Beehive, Eyes Without a Face, too, would have been two of the films.
Yeah.
And it's also the environment of the film, because you know these guys are in this glass structure, and there's nature all around it. So it's like it's opened up.
Yes, the whole film is like built out of contrasts. It's like the darkness and the light. It's summer, it's hot, it's really bright, and inside the house the mother closes the children in. It's like really dark and gloomy, and the nature and this glossy house, as you described it, is one of the
Yeah, the nature, yes, the nature, you know, as animal, like, you know, living maybe like animals in the nature. And on the other hand, a very controlled mother or woman who is very, you know, strict and controlled and cold. So, yeah, these, and also, of course, the children's perspective of the world and the adult's perspective, which is also a contradiction.
Not to mention that the mother-son relationships that she has with the twins, she's wearing bandages, so that creates a whole different kind of barrier between them, too. So it's the visual effect that matters in films like these, too.
Yes, we wanted to tell the story visually, so we always thought of sparing dialogues and telling the story in pictures. That was really important to us, and on some, you know, in some sequences, it feels like a silent movie because nobody talks. It's only that was really important to us because that's a kind of cinema we like.
Oh, that's right. Cinema. I mean,
cinema. That's cinema for us.
Yeah. Well, me too.
Pictures.
Exactly. And now I'm really curious and interested as to what was the working in the when you started the project. How did you plan it?
Yeah, I don't know. We did it step by step, and we did every step together. It's like we were sitting next to each other, writing and drinking and laughing,
talking and eating.
It's kind of living. And then, I mean, I think the most dangerous thing in movie making is to think of the film you want to achieve, to think of the outcome. It was, we never thought we want to have this or that. I mean, we did, but it was a step-by-step thing, and we had fun with every step there was.
Nevertheless, that it's a spontaneous approach. I found that like one of the best things about the film was just this relentless rhythm that just makes, that just builds up, and you know, by the end, at the end, it just erupts. So how did that happen? How did you get that kind of rhythm going?
That is something which happens in the cutting room, because you plan a story, you direct it, some scenes would turn out to be good, some scenes would turn out to be bad.
Yeah.
So you have to find, you know, solutions for that.
That's the first step. The first step is to eliminate all the really bad stuff.
Yes.
And then you have
to find the rhythm.
A mess of a movie. And then you have to find the rhythm.
Yeah, I think the truth is, I mean, it's in every art, or I don't want to call it art, but in every kind of, you know, I don't know, fiction, even if they're storytelling, that, yeah, you kind of, I don't know, you...
You need to edit.
Yes. No, it's not the genius you kind of have, it's just work you do. And step by step and step you work on that. And some days you have good ideas, and you think you have good ideas, next day you kind of throw them away and rethink it. And I think it's just, yeah, we just did the work.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as far as horror films are concerned, okay, if we're to take this film as a horror film.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you define it a horror film. The performances feel so real, though. Especially the kids. It reminded me of me and my brother. I don't have a twin brother, but I still have a brother, and it reminded me of that. So how did you get that closeness on camera?
Yeah, that was, to start with, that was one of the most important things for us, that it's not only a horror movie or genre movie, but that it like opens up to life and to improvisation and children's game, and that it really, I think that makes the terror and the horror a lot stronger, because it's so grounded in reality. It's the closer it feels to your life, the harder is the horror to take. Mm. I think,
and we shot it chronologically, and we played a lot with the children, and we didn't reveal the story to them. So from day to day we kind of revealed a little bit so they to keep them interested, so they really kind of went with us the way, and that's why I think it feels so lively, because they were kind of asking, is this now our mother, or is she not, or what is going on here? And yeah, so, and they tried to, you know, to ask the whole crew, the team, tell me the end.
It's going to end.
That's fantastic.
So so that was kind of a play.
It's the most important thing to keep the children interested in what they're doing, and then they are alive. Then they are not dead or simply telling the lines, but then they're alive.
Yeah, but you know, it even you just telling me, it just adds so much depth to the film that I didn't realize before. But I didn't know that you guys shot it chronologically. But you also shot it on film now. That probably helps making it seem more real too and more human.
Yeah, we love film. We love film stock. We love the way it looks. It has more like secret and mystery to it than this digital stuff. And it wasn't so easy, because it costs more. And with shooting with children, it's hard to tell how many repetitions you have to make of certain scenes. So it's kind of a risk. But Uli Seidler, our producer, was like, he was like guaranteeing, and he was taking that risk for us. He was saying, if you want to do it, then do it.
Yes, he's a great producer, because he's a great filmmaker. So
he's
always
a great producer, because he never thinks about money.
Yes, he never thinks about money.
Wow.
He put the artistic vision first position. So if we say aesthetically, and also we would like to shoot on 35mm, he would say, okay, you want this strongly, you do it, I take responsibility, and we'll see. We hope we can manage.
You're certainly not afraid to take the audience out of their comfort zone, especially in the final part.
Yeah, but that's the kinds of films we like. I mean, I don't want to watch a film. I don't want to feel comfortable when I'm watching a film that's boring for me. I think I want to be kind of attacked by a film.
Yeah,
I liked it personally.
So how did your collaboration start, and will it continue? Have you thought about it?
Yeah, it will continue. We have several projects and even started writing the next screenplays. And it started like, I don't know, I mean, say something.
No, we are, I mean, obviously, I'm 20 years older than my co-director and co-author. And it started by being him my babysitter.
And not really yours.
No, my the babysitter of my children, sorry. And I kind of paid him by showing him and renting films from the videotheque by then. And so we kind of started by watching films together, and then a friendship grew out of that. And yeah.
And now you're making films together.
Yes.
Well, I'm certainly hoping that you.
Strange story.
I'm certainly hoping that you guys will scare the crap out of me again.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Thanks very much for talking with us. It was a pleasure. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.